He's going to break through the barriers. Today's the day. He's going to break through the barriers. Y'all have barriers sometimes in your life where you're like, you know, please don't come talk to me. Please don't notice me. Please, please stay away from me. You ever have those?
Yeah.
Well, you ever have sneaky Jesus come alongside and just overtake that mountain and break through? And then you catch a gaze. He gives you at that moment, he gives you the opportunity to catch a gaze of his goodness, and you're like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. I didn't know it.
Amen.
I'm praying that over you all today. I'm praying that every one of us has an encounter, not just one, but a life-changing encounter that is not just one encounter, but it's like a mark in the Spirit that will not move or shake as the winds blow. They're blowing. But we're steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Yes.
Not because we deserve it, not because we're good enough, but because He is.
Yes.
We're grafted in, and He's good. What am I going to preach on today? The goodness of God.
Amen.
Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor.
Yes.
We thank you for a spirit of worship.
Yes.
We thank you for a spirit of repentance.
Yes, God.
And we thank you for life.
Yes.
And your life.
Yes.
And the ability to release your life.
Yes.
And your promises into the earth.
Yes.
Seated in heavenly places. We've got the upper hand. We've got the living word of God that dashes any rock when used in faith. We've got the love of Christ, which manifests through us, and people are drawn to the peace of the Lord that resides in us. We look different. We're peculiar people. Get used to it. Because as we continue to move forward, advancing His kingdom in His perfect timing, nobody else's but His, we're going to see the doors open, and we're going to see the lost and the damaged come home.
Yes.
We got to get ready.
Right.
We got to get ready.
Right.
It's not going to be a program of the flesh. It's a program of circumcising our hearts and getting right with God. It's up to us to be pure and holy vessels, only by His grace. Hallelujah. So, you know, some of you are just joining us and you just came, but some of you have been here since Wednesday. And so some of this, I'm just going to do a quick, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share a little bit about some of the stuff that's been released already. That's all I really know so far. And hey, Dusty, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you remember when Holly was talking about the tornado? Okay, so if you were here, you got to hear the updated version of the church kind of getting tail whipped around. But those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm just going to briefly share and then expand a little bit as the Lord allows. Many, many, many years ago, I got tricked into going to one of Holly and Edgar's meetings. He is a blast. He always tricks me and surprises me, and I love that about him. If you have not experienced that side of him, I pray for that to open in your heart and just be awed by his goodness. It always comes out of left field, and you're just like, wow. He's always setting up for deliverance. Then anyway, I remember I used to go to her meetings. I'd drive over an hour to get there. Was that too far? No. If it was 2 hours, I'd still go. Because when there's presence in life, in a dry, barren land, I will go anywhere, anytime, as long as the Lord says go, and He was saying go. And I had to learn to overcome the obstacles of the flesh, of the enemy, and I'm going to tell you, one of the weapons that was very powerful is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And so, for me, I remember sitting in the meeting, way in the back, didn't like to be talked to, didn't want anybody to touch me, none of that stuff, okay? I came late, and I left early, but when I met the presence, I came early and stayed late.
Amen.
And so what happened was, I remember her sharing about the vision, and in her vision, God shared, it was a living vision. It was like a seed of life that went into me. And did I know it at the time? No. And see, sometimes we don't know when stuff is being deposited in us. And that's better that way, because then we don't filter it out with our logic or doctrine. I always say, Lord, I want everything you have all the time. Because he always is fresh. And he won't. Here's the cool thing about God. If God releases a word, a knowledge, or healing, oh, somebody's arm's getting healed, I'll take that. And it's stored up in my my account in heaven, okay? So even if I don't need a healing, I take the healings because I always want to be healed. He knows best. So, and it's not stingy because there's overflow. There's always overflow. There's always abundance. Think of the fish and the loaves. There's always leftovers. And nothing ever goes wasted in the kingdom of God. So some of you in here are like, oh, well, I don't know if that word's for me. Take every word that the Lord releases. And I promise you, you're going to see. I don't know when, but you'll be like, wow, that really works. And it's not some weird thing. It's kingdom principle. And so back to the vision. So Holly's releasing this vision, and I knew I was an intercessor, but I was very shy and very quiet and didn't ever want to have attention drawn on me, and I liked that. I was like a wall watcher, and those are, you know, your secret and people don't know, and you don't brag about it. And I liked that position that the Lord gave me, but in the kingdom of God, there's always promotion and there's always shifting of seasons, and so, you know, I've learned a lot in the years that I've been seeking him, and some of it hasn't been fun, but most of it has, and everything comes from, is based in the Word of God. You know, if I see something, I go to the Word, and I ask the Holy Spirit, show me what's up, really what's going on, and so I'm not just one of those flighty, spirit-filled with no doctrine, no sound word, because I got corrected of that early on because I was swaying that way, but that's another story. So anyway, Holly released this vision that she was caught up in a tornado, and they were sitting around a table, and they were playing cards, and they were unaffected and unaware of the storm. And I think she was with her intercessor, so I don't remember, but I remember thinking, wow, how cool is that? You know, and that was probably all I said. And maybe a month or 2 months later, I had a dream. And in the dream, the storm came. And I was in the car with Holly and the intercessors. And I wanted to stop at the gas station and look at the weather, the news channel, and because I knew we could see the storm was coming. And I was in the natural thinking, that's a bad storm coming. And I wanted to pull over and go look and see, you know how on a radar they show you that big red, scary-looking thing that's coming your way? I wanted to go look at that. And so I left to go look at that. The tornado hit, and they took off. They left me behind in the dream. And I remember waking up being so shook by that, thinking, I got left behind. What does that mean? It's not good. I knew it wasn't good. And this is what I said. I said, Lord, I don't even know how to pray on this dream, but you got to help me. I'm not strong in the spirit, and I don't know what I'm missing, but please teach me. I don't want to be left behind. I want to follow you always, and I don't want to be swayed by what the TV is saying. Is that a now word? So I diligently pressed in for deliverance and healing and for the word of God to come alive in my heart because I was swayed by my natural man was strong and it ruled. And so I had to subdue my flesh. I had to learn to believe God's word over circumstances in the earth and what people are sending me on Facebook, in Messenger, in email, half the stuff I don't open. Because it's important to guard our hearts and our minds and remember what the Word of God says. Dry bones are going to live. That's a word for the church right now and some of you in this room. And so Holly had an updated vision, I think she said like 6 months ago, I don't remember the exact time, where she's caught up in the vision and she's in the tornado, but some of the people she knew were being kicked by the tail of the storm and suffering damage. And so that's really the condition of the body of Christ. That's like a picture that God is showing us so that we can help pray through and help bring people into truth. And so that was one of the things the Lord wanted me to share about that vision. And so I'm asking the Lord to give you all dreams of your position in the kingdom, and are you ready? You know, have you died for Christ yet? In any area of your life? Some of you have, and some of you are like, what are you talking about? So, many years ago, see, we're all created with a desire to know God. He put that in us. We're created in his image, whether we know it or not, we're created in his image. And along the way, because of the fall, The enemy is so, all kinds of lies. And along the way of us trying to find his truth, some of us get taken out, whether it's in New Age, you know, a certain religion, or just health clubs. It doesn't have to be spiritual. It could be anything, addiction, anything. And so what's really happening is we're designed to find him. But along the way, there's counterfeit and plastic. And so we eat from the counterfeit and we eat from the plastic. And just like the enemy, sin tastes good for 1 second. It looks like it's true for 1 second, and then whack, it's got a hold of us. And then slowly it drags us in deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to awaken you. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, where am I at in my spiritual walk? Is there anything I'm believing that is not of you? I've had to say this all the time. You wouldn't believe the stuff that comes up that, I'm almost too embarrassed to say this one about the rapture. You know, my old friends know me. I'm just going to share this weird doctrine that I learned from the video that's not even a scripturally video. What was that thing called, Left Behind? That was my doctrine. So I'm like, oh, there's shoes in the road. You know, he came, I got left behind. You know, weird stuff, because I wasn't founded in the Word of God. I had no structure in the Word. I had no foundation in the Word. And so God didn't say, he didn't strike me and say, oh, you stupid, you know, get it right. He caused me and he kept wooing me. But because I had some false doctrine, when I would read the Word, I'd filter it with the false doctrine. And that's why we have to be careful about deception. And you don't know you're deceived. Because that's part of the thing of deception. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us into all truth. And so I'm crying out day after day, Lord, show me your truth. That's my prayer. What are we doing today? Show me your truth. And so he's obligated to show me his truth. But meanwhile, my filters are reflecting his truth, and I'm seeing it through a skewed vision. Well, how many of us are like that? No hands. But because we're so hungry and we want everything he has, he knows our heart. And what happened was he caused me. He said to me, I want you to listen to this guy's teachings. And truthfully, I wasn't too crazy about, he's a seer, and I wasn't too crazy about some of the stuff he was saying. But I wasn't going to judge it because the Lord said. And so I started listening, and what happened was he released a book about the rapture. And I didn't read the book. I only had to read the first chapter, not even the chapter, maybe a paragraph. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you've been trying to tell me this. And then he took me through the Word and showed me in his Word. And it like set the base of a foundational truth in my life where now it's not, see, because what happens, my doctrine was based, he's coming any minute, well, what's the point? You know, what's the point? Well, I think there's a scripture that says, occupy till I come. Not lay down and say, what's the point? Not throw in the towel and say, okay. You know, and a lot of people have done that in the world. If I took a poll in here, I'm just saying, I know some of you have had the same issues. And maybe it's not with that doctrine, but is it another one? Well, what's the point? I'm always going to be a failure. What's the point? And I'm not speaking word curses. I'm trying to bring this stuff up so that you see, oh, dang, I say that. Or, oh, that did happen to me. And then what you do is you say, you know what? That's a lie from the pit of hell. I am not going to take that. And you renounce it. You turn your back on it. You say, I break those words I spoke over myself or my mother or father or friends or spouse, blah, blah, blah. And I replace it with what God's word says. God's word says I'm the head and not the tail. He says I'm the beloved. He says that I have the mind of Christ. I know all things. And so when you start to do that, what happens is it's scripture. It's alive. And it goes in your heart. It's planted seeds in your heart. And it starts to come forth. And then when the enemy pushes on you and says, well, you blew it again. I say, yeah, I did. Hallelujah. But I am made perfect in his image. And I don't answer to you, lying devil. So shut up. Sometimes people tend to ignore the enemy when he whispers in people's ears. And I know some of you are like, not me. Well, let me just ask you this. Have you ever thought of yourself as a failure? Or not far enough along in the walk of the Spirit? Or that somebody doesn't like you? Or that you're never going to get it? Has any of those thoughts ever came up in your life? Could those be darts, those fiery darts that Ephesians talks about? I think they are. And what are we to do? Quench them. Quench them. How do you put out a match? How do you put out something fiery? You don't just go, ooh, that's not true. Spit on it. get a hold of it, and put it out, and let the matter be settled once and for all. And then you move on. And when that lying devil tries to come back, you just look at him and he goes running because he knows. See, we all have authority to rule and reign on earth, but not of all of us exercise his authority. The devils know, and they know when you know. And when you take authority and kick that devil out of your life or that lie out of your life, it's fun to watch. They go limping along and they get in trouble. And you just keep moving along with the Holy Ghost and Jesus. So, I know. I shared something last night that was very odd. And whenever something odd comes out of my mouth and I'm aware that it's odd, it's usually the Lord. And I've learned a couple things. I trust him with my whole heart. Now, that didn't just happen one day. Let me just tell you, there was at least 2 years that I can remember daily battling. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. And then the Lord would say, tell so-and-so I love him. No way. That can't be you. The blood of Jesus, you know. Let somebody else do it. I'm shy. And then the devil would beat, pound on me, and you call yourself a Christian, you know, the whole thing. Listen, that don't happen no more. Because I won by his word. Not because I'm good, but because he's good. There's some things I'll never battle again, and trusting him, listen, he pulled the rug out because I asked him to. I said, show me your truth. And so he showed me his truth, and there wasn't a lot there. It was all my empire that I built. It was all my way of doing things and knowing things and what I was taught along the way. And so when I laid down and presented myself as a living sacrifice, because I met him. When you meet him, anything else is junk. He's the best of the best. And so when I met him, I'm like, Lord, have your way in my heart. Do with me as you will. I give you everything. And that's a prayer. When you say that prayer, not a lot of people say that prayer, and so it's kind of like all of heaven goes, whoa, there's a hungry one. And so it's not that the devil comes and shakes you. It's like what happens is you start to see in the spirit what's really real and what you've made and what God has made, and you allow the dismantling and the burning up of the dross. And we're in a time and a season in today, now, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Stop trying to hold it together because you're wasting your energy and it's going to fall. Any corruption is going to fall because every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm bowing now before he returns. I bow now. And God has created an openness in his spirit so that it's never been easier to see his truth and to see what he's really doing. But meanwhile, back on planet Earth, all the distractions, all the lies, all the corruption, feeding. Where are you eating from? Spirit of conviction coming on the room, but not the bad kind. The kind like, oh, that's what my issue is. You know, I've been off and I don't know why. Oh, I think it's because I've been watching the news and counting the whatevers. And listen, I just came through a season. I love Jesus. If you don't know anything about me, I love him. He saved my life. And I try to keep pure what I see, what I watch. And so a lot of stuff I don't watch. People say, No, don't send me. If it's got scary music, don't even send it to me. I won't even open it if it's got the scary music in the front. You know, I'm just not doing it. By an expert, an unknown expert. Listen, I know the expert. I do. And the voice of a counterfeit I'm not listening to. Now, I'm not saying I'm not paying attention, but because I am. But I just went through this thing where I kind of got shook up and a little bit out of my love bubble, My love bubble. You know, I love to love. He taught me that. I'm not capable in the flesh. I had to ask for that. Teach me how to love you, Jesus. And he did. Teach me how to love others. And he did. And I like the love bubble that I live in because I'm always happy. Even when bad things happen, I'm always happy. But if you sit around people long enough and they're not speaking the love bubble language, it starts to put on you. It's like dust. And the next thing you know, you're a little dull. Now, you're not backslidden, but you're a little dull. And it's like, what's up with that? And I started not to have fear or worry, but I was just like not who God created me to be. And I went to bed that night, and I said, Lord, what's up? I know I'm off. What's up? And he said, read Psalm, I think Psalm 107. And this was right about when Afghanistan was being tormented by the demonic forces. And so I thought it was for Afghanistan, but really it's the word now for the body of Christ. I'm going to read a little bit out of it for you because it's full of life. The theme in there is they ran their wicked ways, they did everything they knew, they thought they knew best, and it always led to the dead end until they cried out to the living God. And then the living God rescued them. And that's where we're at right now in the body of Christ. We're going to see people shipwrecking and banging off the cliffs and all kinds of terrible stuff. Do not be moved. Some of you in here have a compassion heart, but it's in this natural, where you just have that, oh, I got to go feed them. I got to bring them a lunch. We're in a day and age where we have to ask the Holy Spirit, should I bring them a lunch? Because you don't want to get caught up in captivity. Kindness, there's spiritual kindness and there's humanly kindness. You know, Jesus talked about there's always going to be the poor. There's always going to be poor until that day. Until. And some of you have ministry to serve the poor, and you are led by the Spirit, and that's good, and that's godly. But there's others who, you know, I have the gift of discerning of spirits. That could be a blessing or a curse, depending on what side you're on of me. You know, and I say that because we're in a society where God started talking to me about entitlement, I don't know, 10 years ago, spirit of entitlement. And that was when it was, well, I'm not going to teach on it because it's too long, but I just want to say this. Entitlement is rampant right now in the world because there's a spirit ruling that spirit of entitlement. And if you get underneath the spirit of entitlement and you are in bondage, you are held captive. Some people work. Yeah. Some people work others' emotions. Some people work people and they respond because others are watching and they want to look good or do good in front of others. And the enemy has strategically placed people out there. No food signs. Please give me, give me, give me. I pray and ask the Holy Spirit, do I give? Do I sow or do I not? And I'm led, but I'm going to tell you something. We're in a season we're going to see a lot more of that. And it's designed to draw us all closer to the Father. It's not designed to separate. See, that's what the enemy's doing. He's separating. God draws all to him. And so, as we continue forth, I started to say, I'm kind of all over the place, but that's okay. Last night I released a weird word. It was at the end of the night, and I started talking about following the track. I was with some friends, and I got lost in the woods. I was looking for deer antlers. They love deer antler hunting, whatever they call that. I don't, but I went along. Just went along. Well, I got lost. And I shared that last night. I said, don't get lost in the woods, you know. And I was like, what is that all about? You know, and I'm like, Lord. And he said, it's a prophetic word. A lot of people are not in position in the body of Christ. They're hanging out and doing things because their friends have said, this is what you need to do. This is the position you should be in. Listen, I can't find my way. I don't know if this is north, south, east, or west. My grid doesn't work. It's just like on the off switch. And I'm believing for that to be activated, and it will, but right now it's not. So I'm not going to go with the crowd following along their path and their passion because I'm going to get lost. And there's some scripture that talks about the body of Christ and how we all fit together. You know, one's a fingernail, one's an elbow, one's a hand, and we all work together. Well, if I'm hunting antlers, or if I'm, let me put it in a spiritual term for you, if I'm out witnessing to souls on the street, I'm not in my position. And God is calling, because I'm not an evangelist. I'm going to set the captive free, pull them out of the fire, and and that's fun. So for me to put somebody else's shoes on, they hurt. And what's happening right now in the body of Christ is there's a lot of people that are not in position. They're in somebody else's position. And there's an alignment coming, and it's coming fast because of the time that we're in. We've still got a lot of time, but I'm just going to tell you. For some, it's not going to be good. I'm in the tornado. I don't even see it or feel it. I'm up in heaven looking down. Last year was probably one of the best years I've had. There were no lines anywhere. You could get in any place. They would want you to come, you know.
Right.
We found places to eat that didn't require a mask. I mean, God just, you know, and that was when everybody had to wear them back then. You know, I'm not getting into any of the junk of it, the politics. I don't care about that. I won't go there. But what I'm saying is, when you're positioned in him, if you've already had your flesh shaken, it's going to be okay. Because you're tightening up in your spirit. You're already on your way. For those of you who are still wishing and believing, cast your hope and your cares on Jesus. And let him be the perfecter and the author of the outcome instead of you. Now, I'm not, I know the faith people are like, wait, that's not scriptural. Listen, it is. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? There was this thing called the Great Exchange. He brought us back in the fullness garden state. We can cast our cares on him. We don't have to carry our burdens. I think there's something about the yoke is easy and the burden is light. If you're burdened right now, I'm challenging you, that's a work of the flesh that you're trying to push through in the spirit. It's like butter in the spirit, white bread and butter. Now, is it always like that? No, sometimes there's a couple kernels in there that you got to work out. And how do you do it? Shandale bandale bako. No weapon formed against me will prosper. You speak the word. And the word will cause things to come into existence. Always. And so I know I'm kind of all over the board. That's why he actually gave me a little download with a note. So a lot of the church is in the wrong position. I'm asking the Lord to show you your true identity, who you were created to be, and what position you hold in the body of Christ, in the spirit realm. That's huge. You know, Holly used to talk that she heard some pastor years ago say, if you don't know your position in the body of Christ, you need to ask him. And so she asked him, and he told her that she was a temple servant, and she washed out the cups in the temple. I've heard that story, well, for at least, I'm guessing 15 years. That's a guess. Every time I heard that story, I'd say, Lord, who am I in the temple? I never heard nothing. But it doesn't mean I don't keep moving in God. Every time I hear that, I'd say, who am I in the temple? Where's my position? Nothing, silence. It wasn't until Green Lake, Wisconsin, at the retreat, she released that, and she's at the keyboard doing prophetic, and she says, if you don't know your position in the temple or in the kingdom, you need to ask the Lord. Now, I asked him without even expecting an answer because I hadn't had an answer for the last 14 and a half years. But I still ask. So I ask him, and I say, Lord, where's my position in a temple? What is that? And instantly he said, you're a window washer. And I thought, a window washer? Okay. The blood of Jesus, you know. And I just left it at that, and I thought, interesting, what does that even mean? The very next day, somebody came up to me because one of the gifts that I have is I discern in spirit, so I can see the hindrances and blocks in people's lives. And I used to not say nothing, and I would just shout a lot, pray, and hope they'd get it. But we're in a season where they, if they haven't gotten it by now, it's called rip the Band-Aid off.
Yes.
And speak life.
Yes,
because they want to know. And if they can't hear, they're still asking and they want to know. And so I'm the rip the Band-Aid off type. Holly's more gentle. I'm like, let's just rip that thing off and let some air into it, you know? And so I saw something, a hindrance that was blocking one of my dear friends. And I said, hey, can I talk to you? And they either go like this or they're like, yes, you know? And I'm like, hey, it's all good. It's all good because it brings life. It brings help and hope. And it's never, you know, the enemy tries to say, oh, you're going to be in trouble. Listen, in God's kingdom, we're never in trouble. Jesus took that too. That's good news. And so I share this little hook of what I saw in the spirit. And the person comes up to me the very next day and she says, it's as though I can see clearly out of a glass that I've never been able to see out of before, something like that. Now, God was talking to me. That was love language to me. Because the enemy's always like, oh, you're too rough. They can't handle that. I'm like, oh, yeah? How about this, devil? And then I go at him, you know. He doesn't mess with me too much. So I'm saying we all have a position in the temple of God. And where is it? And are we tending to it? We all have a garden in heaven. I love, if you knew your home in heaven, have you visited it? Have you looked in the mailbox? Some of you have mail that's never been opened and it's like overflowing. Come home, the Lord's saying. Come home. Come and spend time with him. It's now. It's not for when you die and go cross over. It's now. It's now. And it doesn't have to be when the perfect song's playing or, you know, you got to fast 3 days. None of that. Now, in. And our heart is to teach you the walk of the Spirit and how to connect in the Spirit, to bring life and bring you in the fullness of God so that you can release everything he has for you. That's our heart. And along the way, we get to help heal the brokenness and keep pointing you to Jesus because it's always about him. And if you came here for us to fix you, we can't. He can. He can. And he's going to do it the way he wants to, not the way you think he's going to. When I was learning about trust, huge issues with trust. Anybody have huge issues with trust? You know that scripture, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That was like, bam, bam, breaking away, you know, the hardcore of self-protection that I built. And I had to have that to survive in any earth. I had to have that because some stuff bad happens. So we build a wall. We build a barricade. We make sure we have the certain body language so people don't talk to us or draw attention to ourselves. We learn that stuff, but here's the thing. Let's go back to the cross, the great exchange. I want everything Jesus died for me to have. And so if there's an issue of trust in my heart, Lord, deliver me, set me free, show me the brokenness that I don't even remember so that you can heal me. Just heal me, Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not real smart when it comes to a lot of things, but I know one thing. I love him. And I learned that he loves me and that he will never cause harm in my life. And when you get that, that's huge. That's like a little cut in to the wall. And then from there, as you continue to yield to your way of self-protection and say, Lord, give me the grace. I don't even know how to trust you, but teach me how to trust you. See, you can't figure it out in the natural, but he'll figure it out, and then he'll cause a setup to override your natural thinking and your wall building because you've asked to get set free. Some people just don't automatically get set free. He has to do the, I love when he does it. He tricks me a lot. I've been tricked so many times. I've been crying out, nothing, because I think I know something, which I know nothing. And then, boom, out of the left, all of a sudden, there it is. He has to kind of like a football player, tackle me and take my ball from me and say, here, we're not playing with your ball, we're playing with my ball, God's ball. Put your ball down. Okay, who's the football player in here? Amen. I know who you are. No eye contact. See, God's calling you out because he loves you and you've been crying out. You've had to have a wall of protection to survive. But God wants to do the transformation where you're no longer surviving, but thriving in him with the blessings. He doesn't eke out anything. He overflows. It's like gushing waters all the time. And so the enemy tricks and tries to put the spin on God. Like he'll say, well, God's a bad God or God caused this. Listen, God is always good. His word says he can never lie and he's always good. And so when the enemy starts to throw that accusation always comes from the enemy. If it comes from a person, it's from an enemy being used by that person. And so when an accusation comes, even if you don't believe it in your heart, speak that you do, because it'll cause those roots to grow of those seeds of truth. And so when I was learning trust early on, I'd say, Lord, I trust you with everything. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, I don't trust you with anything. But I wouldn't speak it because I knew the enemy didn't know my thoughts. So I'm challenging you, because there's, you know, we're in a season where we have to listen and practice the voice of the Holy Spirit and know when he says go left or give a sandwich or keep driving. You know, another thing I remember is years ago, Holly taught on, she was preaching on something. And what I love about the prophetic, it's always full of life. And so even when it's released, it's there in our hearts, it's in us. And it may grow a little one day, a year from now, or tomorrow. And I remember one time she was talking about the Chinese, how the underground church and how it was persecuted. And back then I didn't even know about persecution. And I remember her saying that they, I think she read a book about the guy that wrote that book, where they had to listen and know by the Holy Spirit where to go to services, because they got shut down. And that an angel of light would guide in the darkest, but not too long, because then they would be seen. And so that's how people got around to go to their meetings and stuff. And I remember thinking, gosh, I'm not very strong in that area. I'm used to calling a friend for help, not asking the Holy Spirit for help. And I really felt a conviction come upon me, but not like condemning. It was more like, oh, there's some truth there. I need to get right on this. And I was like, Lord, I don't even know how to do this, but I need your help. And as soon as I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this, right away, boom, I knew how to do it. When you admit you don't know how, he always gives you the answer. I love that about him. And so one of the things I had to do is I had to change who I talked to and how often I talked to people. I had to put the Holy Spirit first. And so by then, I was hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know. And because of that, I had to practice. Just like I'm talking now, he would talk back, and I had to practice listening. And actually, he would make me speak what he was saying a lot of times. I think it was to keep me from wandering. I don't know. I'm not sure what that was about. But anyway, so I believe that if you are relying on people to make you comfortable or meet your needs, I'm going to ask you to do the great exchange on that and choose. And this might be a little challenging if you're not used to truth. You know, because your friends, some of them will lie to you just to make you feel good, just so they don't have to deal with your issue. I'm just being honest. You're going to get through this just fine. Meanwhile, you're bleeding internally. And the only one that has the answer is the Holy Spirit. So I love to go to him. And so I would just ask, you know, what is up? Help me. I don't understand. I don't see. Will you show me? And so through dialoguing and listening and speaking what he said, he would always give me the answer. And then the day came when he started nudging me to go into the word more. Yeah, I heard really clear from him, but he wanted me to be strengthened, my spiritual muscles, in the word. And so I was kind of like a little baby bird in his nest, and he was like kicking me out. It's time to fly. Go in the word. And it was so easy to hear from him, I just really preferred the easy way. So, but the thing that happened was, when I said yes to that, amazingly, the grace to understand his word, and the, you know, this word has a heartbeat in it. It's his heartbeat. It's alive. This word is alive, and it feeds me. It's nutrients from heaven. And so, you know, I'm challenging you in several areas today. One, get to know the Holy Spirit, really. Two, start to rely on the Holy Spirit. Shift your weight from you knowing everything, and this is the way we always do it, and it's always been good so far this way. I'm challenging you to stretch further, because the gifts never stop. They always increase. And you may be anointed and chosen and, you know, walking on water, hallelujah. But I know there's more. And I want the more. I always want is more. And so I'm challenging you to shake from the sleepy slumber that some of you are in and the comfortableness. Listen, sharpen up. It's time to sharpen up. It's, you know, I saw a scripture this morning, and it was a proverb, actually. And, you know, I love the Proverbs. They're full of keys of revelation. And, you know, If we show up in the spirit and in the natural, if we show up, here I am, Lord, you're going to walk in victory. But if you are lazy and busy just looking at the sun and, you know, not working the spiritual muscles, you're gonna be, I don't even want to speak it, you're going to be taken captive. We have to stand and declare truth, God's word, because God's word is true, always. So I'm encouraging you to a couple things, like I said. Practice listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to show you if you have any deception or if you need to turn off any media. There's on both sides. I want his side right here. This has the ability. There's not a question or a problem that does. There's no answer for in here. This has every answer. We're in a Google world where we're so used to Googling it that it's dumbed us down. I remember I was the Lord gave me a word yesterday. Oh, translation, one of my favorite words. And I remember the day when I had to look in the back of the book. You remember, what do they call that in the back? An accordance? Accordion, concordion, whatever it is. I remember looking at that and thinking, I miss those days. You know, where you'd search out for hours, you know, and it would take you here, take you there. And now it's Google this, Google that. And a lot of times it's not even, it'll take you, I remember wanting the answer, looking for a scripture. I couldn't even get the Bible verse. It wouldn't even pop the Bible verse. So I had to recreate the way I did the search engine so that, because there's filters out there, friends. And so how do you know you're not being filtered down? That's why we need the word of God. Deception is sneaky. And it is designed to cause division. But God designed us to walk in love, unconditional love. And I believe Jesus said, perfect love cast off fear. If you're struggling with fear in here, I'm going to challenge you to put your gaze on Jesus instead of your problem and just believe to trust him. And even this is how it works. You'll start, your heart is, I want to believe, but I don't believe. But if you keep going after him, eventually the door opens. It always opens. And it's never when we think. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's a week later. Sometimes it's longer. But he never forgets what you ask him. Never. Even when we get too busy to go back and say, hey, you remember when I asked you that question? I totally forgot. I wanted to know about it. Will you tell me now? And he'd be like, I'm so glad. He's not like, oh, you should have been here 30 days ago. He doesn't do that. There's such a difference, a contrast between the spirit realm and the natural realm. And God is calling us higher into the spirit realm to strengthen our spiritual muscles. And one of the best ways, whenever I get flabby in the spirit, I can tell. I get a little edge, a little crabbiness to me. You know, you guys don't know, but the people that hang out with me know, and they're like, does the God, word of God have something for you today? Go, you know, I'm kidding, but I'm sure that's what they're thinking, you know? And so, because it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of the day. And so, you know, here on the mountain, you know, I have a routine at home. Well, I'm not at home, and so my routine is messed up. So, like, before I even get out of bed, I'm hanging out with the Lord. Because once I open the door and go into the main area, it's fun time. And it's easy to get caught up in fun time, but that's not what God wants for me. It could be for you, but for me, he wants me to spend time with him. And what happens is when I do spend time with him, it brings life and nourishment and love and wisdom and revelation and answers to every question. And so with that being said, I shared about that weird thing about the deer thing. So I talked about that because of, I'm wondering how many people are in the wrong seat, you know, doing something for somebody else. So I'm challenging you. See, I feel like there's a realignment along with the awakening of our hearts. I feel like there's true positions that we're going to come into, and there's going to be things that pop up, and you'll be like, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not watching whatever TV series it is. It's just dumbing me down. I'm going into the Word. I'm changing my routine. And so one of the other things he asked me to talk about is discerning of spirits. You know, that gift is available for every one of us. And it's an important gift in the body of Christ. It's also an important gift personally. Because, you know, James talks about it, you know, hidden reefs, hidden love fests, you know, they wander their way in to cause division and take the church off course. And there's a lot of that that's happened. And, The gift of discerning of spirits, or the gift of discerning of spirit, actually grows when you exercise it. And everyone has the ability to exercise that, but it's in the spirit. And one of the things that he wanted me to talk about is, you know, how to be gentle with this word, Lord. Some people have the gift, but they've never developed it. They operate out of their flesh, and they think that it's a spiritual thing. It's separate. It's a separate thing. Now, I'm not talking about intuition or anything like that. I'm talking about discerning of spirit. And what I mean by that is the ability to know a good heart from a bad heart, a sheep from a wolf, truth from a lie. We all have to have that in this day. It's not held for certain people. Everyone has that gift. And right now, I commission that gifting. I command it to open in every heart in here. I command the bands of the flesh to be released off your hearts, and I command that thing to come alive in you in such a way where it's a part of the compass of God in your heart, where you just know. And then with that gifting, you'll know when to speak, when to pray, when to walk away, and when to warn others. And I'm reminded that we're the head and not the tail. And we know all things in Christ Jesus. And so I'm seeing that gifting open in people. I saw the bands be released. And I also see that, you know, that scripture, pride puffeth up. Some people think they're spiritually discerned or spiritually mature. And I'm not sure which mirror you're looking at, but I'm going to challenge you to look at the face of the Father, because he will realign if there's any part of you that's off. And he doesn't do it to condemn. He does it because he loves you so much and wants all the blessings for you. Sometimes we block the blessings because we think we know it all, or this is the way we've done it. And sometimes we do that as really as a barrier of protection, so no, we don't let anybody in. And right now, I'm seeing that in this room. I'm not calling you out because that's not my job. But what I am doing is I'm going to release you from that if you choose to. So right now, by the Spirit of the living God, if you want to be released from the spirit of knowing it all, or whatever that is, that thing that puffs you up, it's pride. It's pride. The root of that is pride. And you had it as self-protection because of the hurts and wounds along your way. God's not mad and he's not judging, but he's offering his hand of life. Will you take it today? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I told you I was going to read you a little bit about in Psalms today, and I'm going to do that. Because I feel like it goes with where we're at. And we are in one of the best seasons in God right now. And if you don't believe that, I challenge you to look at the Word of God. He handpicked you for this hour. That's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. I think that's awesome. Now, what that means, I don't know, but I'll take it, Lord. Show me and help me and strengthen me to stand in the day. So I'm going to read Psalm 108 to you. No, I'm not. It's Psalm 107. 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul. Did you hear that? He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God. and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I'm going to stop there. Do you see the theme? We don't have to wait. We don't have to be then. I'm crying out right now, deliver me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. I honor you, Lord. Show me your way, Lord. Show me your truth. I want to live on the life side. I came from the death side. And it's easy to settle in because it's good. God is good. But I want the more. I want to be a blessing for him to others. I want to be a beacon of light in a dark town, in a dark place. And I'm going to tell you something. Last week, we called in the lost and the broken. We did that last week by faith, and we had two testimonies come in right away that we know of the children reaching out, coming back, wanting it. And here's the thing. We walk in peace because we walk in him. The world is shaking, and it's dark out there, but we're not of the world, and people know the difference. They see that we walk in peace and love, and they're like, I'm drawn to you, but I don't know why. Well, let me tell you why. That's the love of Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know you can have, and then you just minister to him whatever the need is, and you bring him into the flock. You know, the greater works than these that Jesus talked about, we're in it right now. We're in that right now. It's like we're being set up for the greater works of these. We're going to see the transgenders come home. We're going to see the lost and the broken, you know, that are so drugged up that their organs are, and they need a miracle. And God is no respecter of person or place. He's healing them, and he's going to restore them, and those are going to be some of the best days that we get to be part of. But our hearts have to be ready. When someone comes in that may smell a little different than you, how are we treating them? You know, God's word is full. Bring them to the front. Bring them to the front. Give them the best, because they're mine. Who are we to judge what clothing they wear? And God is separating us from the religious spirit or the way things that we've been told. And he's calling us out in our hearts. He's wooing us. And it's only by his love. People know plastic. Well, a lot of people know plastic. But the ones that don't, they'll know. Love has a fragrance of no other smell. Love is so unconditional that it breaks the bondage. It breaks the chains. Because the devils freak out. They're like, well, what is that? And they leave. Just long enough to give that person an opportunity to choose life. And then we equip them and we clothe them with the goodness of God. And then they go back into the dark places and bring their friends. We're going to see it. This is the season for that. We have to be ready in our hearts. And sometimes when we get fat and comfortable, maybe I don't feel like doing it today. I'm going to challenge you to discipline your flesh. Well, how do I do that? The easiest way for me, and I talked about this a little bit ago, but I didn't go all the way into it, is I deny myself food. It's called fasting. If ever I start to get dull, I like to fast and pray, because it gives me the ability to realign in the spirit of truth. It's easy to get caught up in going to play a game or go hang out with somebody. It takes discipline to say, I'm not eating today, Lord. I'm going to eat off your word. And some people have never fasted in their lives, and I'm not saying to do that if you don't feel led. And it could be a different type of fast. It could be whatever the thing that takes your time the most. You know what it is. Could it be idolatry? I don't know. I'm just asking. But for me, I found what works. And I can tell you this, the devil did everything he could to stop me from fasting. I was in a church, a little community church on the prayer team before I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't remember if it was once a week or once a month. It felt like every day. But they required you to fast on a certain day of the week. And I couldn't do it. I'd go to noon and I'd get this migraine headache and I'd be like, oh, I feel like I haven't eaten in days. And, you know, it was just like, because it was a work of the flesh, okay? And I just couldn't do it. But one day. Because if our heart is right, but one day, God busts through. He always does. And it's, I don't know if we bust through or he busts through or how it happens, but there's this place where you meet him and he delivers us. And I will never forget that. Crying out, Lord, you got to change me. Every area in my life was a wreck. Trying to do it, doing the best I can, even trying to do it in the flesh and then getting mad because it's not working. And then blaming God because it's not working. But really, if our heart is, Lord, you got to help me, he'll find a way to help you. And I'll never forget it. I was at a prayer meeting. No, it was not. It was a church service at this Hispanic church that Edgar and Holly got to use on a Saturday night. I don't know if it was once a week or once a month. I don't remember. I'd go whenever there was a meeting. And I remember there was a prayer line. And I'm crying out, Lord, you got to help me. I'm such a mess. And I stood in line for prayer, and I never heard the prayer. But I sure felt this a lightning bolt from heaven came through the room and sent me flying backwards. So, I mean, I was like facing this way and ended up on a platform back that way on my back. And I spent 45 minutes in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. After 45 minutes in heaven, and I'm not saying this because of pride. I'm saying this because I'm hungry for change, and I'm desperate for him. When I came back, I was a changed person. There were things I battled with that I never shared with anybody that just got taken care of. When I came back, I was so undone. I'll tell you, I traveled so fast in the Spirit. My hair, I had long hair back then, really long hair. And it went straight back. And my cheeks were like stuck back because I traveled so fast to heaven. And what happened, when I came back, I went to the bathroom and I looked in the mirror. I think I had to be helped to the bathroom. I couldn't even stand. I was like staggering, like drunk, but I wasn't drunk. And I remember looking in the mirror thinking, my hair's not back, but it is. And it was the strangest thing, but they always would go out to eat afterwards. And you know, I went, and I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink, I couldn't do nothing. And I woke up the next day, and I couldn't eat. And I felt like I had the flu. I was getting delivered. God was ministering to the cries of my heart in the night when I'd be up crying, Lord, I'm a wreck, you got to help me. I don't know how to do it, but I know you do. I don't know how to pray, but help me. I'm desperate for change. I always went. I was always hungry. I'd travel wherever they were going for their services, I'd go if I could. Next day, no food. My family thought I had the flu, and I let them think that because I knew to stay in whatever the Lord was doing. Third day, still in bed. I had kids. Fourth day, I'm sitting outside with the Lord, and I remember saying, can I go back there again? You know, because he said, you can come anytime. I said, okay. And then he started to sit with me on the bench, and he said, I'll never forget this. He said, when's the last time you cried? And I know when the Lord asks a question, he knows the answer, but he wants us to speak it out. And I said, when's the last? I really had to think. I said, well, I cried when I got married, and I cried when my son got in trouble when he was little. That was like years had gone by. And what he was trying to show me was I had stuffed all my emotions. Became a toughie. I'm like, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Help me. So, I'm also an overachiever still. So I want to make it happen. If you don't know how to cry, you can't cry. You know, I'm like, I do that. I'm opening up the word. I had to look up emotions, and I think I had to look up emotions. I didn't even know what they were. You know, everything was locked and blocked. And I'm starting to work through them with them. Still not eating. Still not eating. Still not eating. No headaches, nothing. I remember the devil came and said, "You're going to be anorexic." I had a laugh at that one. I'm like, oh yeah, right. Liar. I didn't eat for 40 days. And I'm not saying that in pride. And I did do some juice. But God did a work in me. And he still is. And I draw from that time with him because it was like the beginning of an opening. I tasted the goodness of the Lord and I ate from the food of heaven. I don't talk about this a lot. But I feel like some of you are desperate for change, but you're trying to push it out in the flesh and it will never work. It's a work of the Spirit. But your heart is right, but you're still pushing. And when you're pushing, God won't. There's this thing called surrender. He wants to, you know that, I better not say that. Oh, he said I could say it. You know that stupid song? Jesus is my co-pilot or whatever. You know the bumper sticker or whatever that thing is? He is my all. I don't let him sit next to me. I sit in him. There's a difference. And see, we've got to come from the religious mindset and this work of the natural where, listen, you'll never be able to relate to him in the natural. It's a spirit to spirit. And that when you open up and choose to believe that he's good, even against everything you've been taught, it'll start to crack open those walls of deception and those walls and barriers that you've put up for self-protection. And I'm going to tell you, when you cross over, it's the promised land of God. The grapes are huge. The blessings are wonderful, and your shoes will never wear out. But it's an act of obedience every day. It's a picture, and it's a parable, but it's alive and in us now. So I'm challenging you not to go out and have an heavenly encounter or try to master one. I'm challenging you to lay down your idea, your agenda of how you've always done things, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you trust him. And when you do that, he will take your hand and lead and guide you in all truth, always. Meanwhile, the enemy will stop it. He'll try to stop it. Your best friend will call, "Let's go shopping. I'm buying you all the clothes you want." Or, "I got this great opportunity for you to travel the world." Say no to it. Say no to it and continue to put him first and let him be the one that promotes and provides. If you rely on man for your substance, you are capped. God's always flowing. His blessings are abundant. And he is the true source of life. And if we all positioned ourselves or learned how to walk in the fullness of God on earth, there'd be a big shift. And that's why I'm challenging you to get in position and not your neighbor's position. Spend some time this weekend. It's not going to be hard to hear because he wants you to know this. If you've got areas in your life, emotional healing, abuse, trauma, this is your weekend to release all that and take the great exchange, take the blessings of the Lord and walk out your healing. Some of you have been abused and wounded and the enemy has tormented you and tried to keep you in that place. Listen, that's not you. That was your earth suit. You are a heavenly being created in God's image on an assignment from heaven to bring forth into the earth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for today. I know you've opened us. You're stretching us. And you're bringing us into oneness in you. You've been talking to me for weeks about unity in spirit and how it starts with Holy Spirit, Jesus, and Father God. You're asking us to come into alignment, and we say yes in the Spirit. We say yes to everything you have for us, and we're believing for all the promises to manifest into the earth. We believe we are a resource of heaven, from heaven, for the earth, for this hour. And we're going to listen and only do what you tell us to do. And we're not going to listen to the voice of the stranger, which could be anything from media or anything that leads us astray. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to rein us in and help us strengthen our frame so that we can stand strong when the winds blow. And anything that's not of you, we release it. We ask you to bless whatever's of you and multiply it and bring forth your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.